Welcome to Gun and Country Radio, a weekend program that discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. In last week's program, we looked at the subject of why evangelical Christians are rejoicing in Trump's presidential victory. And the key Bible verses to springboard into that discussion were Proverbs 28:12, when the righteous triumph, there is great glory, and Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when a wicked man rules, the people groan. Now, in this week's program, I'd like to discuss the opposing response and look at the question, why is the left enraged over Trump's victory? And there's also two Proverbs to launch into that discussion. Proverbs 21:15, the exercise of justice is joy for the righteous, but it's a terror to the workers of iniquity. And Proverbs 10:29, the way of the Lord is a stronghold to the upright, but is ruin to the workers of iniquity. It's actually the same Hebrew word used in both verses, even though Proverbs 21:15 is translated terror and Proverbs 10:19 is translated ruin. It's the same Hebrew word. The word means the demolition of something, the destruction, the hardship, and hence a state of fear, horror, anxiety. In Hebrew parallelism, it's the polar opposite of the joy that the righteous are experiencing. These verses call these people those who work iniquity. It's describing those who live lives that violate the word of God, ignoring God's moral law. Biblical justice, not woke justice, and the ways of God are considered ruin and destruction. And their rage is toward God's way of life. Even Satan considers the ways of God the source of his ruin because his arrogant autonomy is taken away from him. He and his followers don't get to rewrite the moral order of the universe. So to begin our discussion as to why the political left is so enraged over the election results, realize that the cause is ideological, it's about beliefs, it's about worldview. Now, yes, the political left is angry because of the threat of losing their funding, their positions, their prestige, their power. But that's all secondary. The real anger is that their ideology, their worldview is being contradicted and challenged. You know, think about the opposition to Christ in his day. Why were the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the whole Sanhedrin enraged over Jesus? So much so that they murdered him. I've often asked that question when reading the Gospels. Were they just sincerely trying to defend Israel against false teachers? Was it just jealousy because Jesus attracted more attention from the people? Or did they really think Jesus would create a revolution and the Romans would invade? Well, all those reasons were secondary. In other words, if there wasn't also an ideological opposition to Jesus, his teaching, none of those other reasons would have been applied to Jesus. The leadership of Israel would never have created all of those secondary objections. For example, if it weren't for Trump's transcendent moral positions, the left would never have claimed that Trump is a Nazi, a fascist, that he's going to destroy democracy, that he's a racist, that he's going to create inflation with his tariffs, that he's going to favor dictators. See, all of those arguments were just a smokescreen for a deeper opposition. Because if they liked Trump's core worldview ideology, they would have spun any of Trump's idiosyncrasies in a positive direction, just like they did for Biden and Kamala. So it's not just about partisanship, about which party gets to be in power. You know, it's true that people are enraged when others take their power, even when their opposition pretty much believes the same things they do. But in this case, the anger is mainly over an ideological difference. There's a clip circulating on the internet of Trump on the ABC morning show, The View, before he ran for office in 2016. And all of the hosts on The View are fawning over Trump, giving him hugs and kisses, saying how wonderful he is. Even Whoopi Goldberg gives Trump a kiss. And Barbara Walther says, whenever we have you come in, we're so happy. And they were in total agreement over what Trump said concerning how he was going to help the economy. But now these same people see Trump as the devil. What changed? Well, of course, the left and the media has moved further left. But also, once it became known that Trump opposed their moral positions, their love turned into hate. On The View last week, Whoopi Goldberg dialogued about how Americans should not invite Trump voters to their Thanksgiving dinner. Quote from Goldberg, "Someone who tells me that my child is wrong because of how he or she feels, tells me they should not be allowed to be who they want to be with my permission. I don't want to put my gay child in that position with someone who doesn't understand her." So notice this isn't about economics or government spending, but the big issue for Whoopi Goldberg and for so many others is embracing transgenderism, and we can add to that abortion. I mean, why? What's the big deal? Because it represents something even bigger than those issues. It's about affirming the sexual liberation of people, breaking away from the law of nature, nature's God. It's a love and an allegiance for the spirit of this age. The Psalm chapter 2 prophecy, where the kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us." And Jesus' words in Matthew 24, that in the last days, lawlessness will increase. People are moral, spiritual creatures. There's a war against God. And that's the source of the rage. Notice also, Psalm chapter 2 begins, "Why do the nations rage? And why are they devising empty and vain policy?" Well, because they want to break God's courts. So there are two sides that are forming. One is either on the team of remaking the world by overthrowing the moral law of God in favor of human freedom and autonomy, or on the side of the team supporting the law of nature and nature's God. With Trump's victory and all of his appointments representing something much bigger than a party called the Republican Party winning power, it represents for the left the defeat of their ideology, their worldview objectives, even belaying the truth that the majority of Americans are not fully on their side. And that's especially disheartening since for the left, truth is determined by public opinion. For those on the left, transgenderism and LGBTQ are being taught as acts of virtue, courage, honesty, because one is being honest with his own desires and his own nature. As in the teaching of the philosophers of the Enlightenment, the world will become a wonderful place when our outward behavior conforms to our true inner nature. And those who hold to the moral constraints of the past, those who hold to the moral constraints of Christianity, are considered the problem. As Nietzsche taught, for people to flourish, they must overthrow the oppressions of morality. That morality is keeping people down. And young people are being taught this, and being taught to interrupt and stop the status quo. The bakers and the florists and the faculty who will not go along with this new religion are considered evil. So how much more when the president of the United States is opposed to their ideology? You know, conservatives may not fully understand how big this transgender movement is in America. You know, don't forget that during Pride Month and Transgender Month, the federal government and whole federal government departments were celebrating transgenderism and bringing in transgender speakers and seminars. Judges, the whole legal profession, university educators, politicians are all supporting transgender athletes in women's sports. And this is what Kamala Harris was running on. Last month, one of the volleyball coaches at the University of San Francisco was fired for even questioning that a transgender male was playing on the girls' volleyball team. And now the president of the United States says he's going to remove government funding from any school that promotes transgenderism in sports. You know, Trump is challenging their pagan religious beliefs that they fully invested themselves into over the past 25 years. He's undermining the very core principles of pagan humanism. And the means by which this ideology has been pushed is that under the Biden administration, every department of government hired a chaplain of paganism as part of senior level staff. And they were called DEI officers, whose sole purpose was to force everyone to accept and hire and promote woke transgender individuals and beliefs. But now every single one of Trump's cabinet appointees have vowed to eliminate all DEI officers and initiatives in the federal government. There's an article that just came out this morning. Trump's new choice for chairman of the FCC, Brendan Carr, is vowing to end DEI at the FCC. But currently, the FCC stated in its budget that DEI is the second most strategic goal of the agency. Unquote. If you haven't seen what has happened in this regard over the last 4 years, here's an article from the Daily Wire that explains it. Entitled, Biden-Harris Administration Pushes Far-Left Ideology with 500 DEI Actions. From the DHS to NASA to the DOD, federal agencies created equality action plans pushing the woke DEI ideology. Quote from the article, the Biden-Harris administration has implemented diversity, equity, and inclusion throughout the federal government. According to a new report, the administration has taken steps to ensure that DEI infiltrates every nook and cranny of the federal government, from healthcare agencies to national security, the report explains. On day one of his administration, President Biden issued Executive Order 13985 entitled Advancing Racial Equality and Support for Undeserved Communities Throughout the Federal Government. The report found that over 80 federal entities took DEI actions, though some were particularly prolific. The Department of Homeland Security and the Environmental Protection Agency took and planned 13 and 22 respectively, while NASA took and planned 26 DEI actions, including holding its first virtual LGBTQI vendor equity forum. The Department of Agriculture took 21 DEI actions, including reimagining many foods and agricultural programs from an indigenous perspective. The report comes as former President Donald Trump has pledged to reverse the woke takeover of the federal government and urges Congress to establish a restitution fund for those unjustly discriminated against by these destructive policies, unquote. So the Trump administration is seeing DEI for what it is, discrimination against Christian morality. And please don't be like so many people who are deceived into thinking DEI is about hiring government workers that reflect America's racial diversity. No, it's a label under which transgenderism and LGBTQ ideology is being promoted, hitching its wagon to ethnic racism. So the point I'm making is that the rage on the left is over the defeat of their moral ideology. It's really all about transgenderism, LGBTQ, and abortion, which really reflects a deeper subconscious disdain for God and God's moral law. I mean, there are many Americans who are not trans or LGBTQ or who are not particularly enthusiastic about abortion, but they still identify with that spirit of rebellion. 1 John chapter 4, spirit of the Antichrist, which you hear is coming, but now is already in the world. After Trump's victory, the governor of Illinois, Pritzker, vowed to make Illinois a sanctuary state where children can get sex change operations. Why? Because he's totally enamored with and invested in human autonomy and the ideology that people should be able to choose their gender rather than gender being determined by God. That's what's really going on here. Now, I know you know that the rage against Trump is based on moral beliefs. But again, I want to point this out so that you're not overly diluted by all the smokescreen arguments, those secondary arguments, which I will now cover briefly. First, the claim that the left is enraged because Donald Trump in the White House means the end of democracy. And we know what this really means. The left is now claiming that they're all for democracy, not totalitarianism, because they now define democracy as moral freedom, that the will of the people comes above the moral law of God, and conservatism that emphasizes the rule of law is oppression and totalitarianism. But here's the irony, that the left, which alleges to be all about freedom from totalitarianism, then turns around and is enraged when the totalitarianism of the deep state is threatened. American people voted to reduce the bloated, costly, big regulations, federal government, and the left is panicking. Here's an interesting article from CPAC entitled, "The Left's Claim of a Guardrail-Free Trump Presidency Are Misguided? How the Supreme Court Loper Decision Protects America." And I can't emphasize enough that one must understand the Loper Decision if one is to understand what Trump and the conservatives are planning for Washington. The federal government has been operating on a previous Supreme Court ruling from 1984 called the Chevron deference, where individual government agencies can create laws without going through Congress. The Chevron ruling states that when a statute from Congress is ambiguous, courts should defer to an agency's reasonable interpretation rather than reverting back to Congress for clarification. This is how leftists are expanding Title IX to include transgenderism. The article states, on its face, this Chevron doctrine may sound harmless, perhaps even sensible. After all, who better to interpret technical laws than the agencies tasked with enforcing them? In practice, however, Chevron became a blank check for agencies to expand their power far beyond what Congress intended. Over time, agencies used Chevron deference to push regulatory boundaries, asserting authority in areas that Congress never explicitly delegated. This regulatory sprawl led to a vast administrative state capable of shaping nearly every aspect of American life, from energy to environmental policies to healthcare, education, beyond. Unquote. But now that the Supreme Court has overturned Chevron, all of these regulations created by government agencies are legally null and void. Congress now has a blank check to overturn almost all regulatory law and agencies. Congress, our elected representatives, get to make the law. But of course, what's the left doing? Trying to overturn the Loper decision because they don't want Congress to make the law. That would be democracy. They'd rather have deep state totalitarianism. And this is another reason why they're enraged over election results. They really don't want democracy. There was an interesting survey before the election that asked people why they were voting for Trump. And even though Kamala's campaign was campaigning on restoring democracy, the American people did agree with that platform. But it backfired on the Democrats because more people, when surveyed, said that Donald Trump will do more to restore democracy than Harris. The Democrats made democracy a main issue, and the public responded to that reminder by electing Trump. Now, another cause for rage against Trump's victory is his promise to reduce the size of government, where Elon Musk and Vivek have formed a private committee called the Department of Government Efficiency. And this committee will advise the administration on areas the government can cut spending. Elon Musk, when he took over Twitter, laid off 80% of the workers, because Twitter is just a computer program that does the work all by itself. The need for staff is limited. But the left is afraid that Elon's going to do the same thing with their comfortable government jobs. You know, you separate a man from his golden goose, and he's going to be enraged. Even if he's making money unjustly off of the heads of other people by simply the power to tax. Many Americans are living in a fantasy world. I believe the government can keep paying for all these government employees making six figures. Federal government collects about $4.5 trillion but spends $6.5 trillion. And Musk believes he needs to cut about $2 trillion to balance the budget. The spending really has to stop. Either we have a little bit of pain now by holding ourselves accountable to economic law, or we have a complete financial collapse in the near future. But again, the left doesn't want this, because they support economic lawlessness as well as social lawlessness. because they don't believe in rules. And evil is parasitic. You know, the prodigal son lived off the wealth of his righteous father, but when he had to create his own wealth, legitimately, then his evil partying days were over. With the Trump administration, this is the first time we're actually hearing from social leaders that our government is corrupt, especially in regard to financial corruption. And we all knew this, but this is the first time it's getting a lot of public attention. And that's really a good thing. All of Trump's cabinet appointees believe the government is bloated, unconstitutional, its size and its outreach. And they're all going to be working to cut it down. And Elon Musk says that his role in Trump's efficiency department is going to be a revolution. Also, the left is enraged because Trump's victory means a change in foreign policy. Marco Rubio has been chosen to be the Secretary of State, and he's a major supporter of Israel. Trump also chose Mike Huckabee, an evangelical supporter of Israel, to be the new U.S. ambassador to Israel. I'm sure Huckabee never imagined that he'd be in that position. With this, there's going to be no more leftist talk of a two-state solution. And I expect that we'll see the elimination of much Palestinian resistance to Israel's sovereignty. And I hope that Jordan opens its doors to Palestinians who don't want to live in Israel. So since the left has an inexplicable anti-Semitism and support for the totalitarianism of Islam, these appointments also anger the left. Now, in regard to the military, Trump has chosen Pete Hegseth to be the new Secretary of Defense. He had a few rough years, but he came back to God. He started to attend a solid church a couple of towns over, Colts Neck Community Church. Hegseth has since moved to Tennessee. He's attending a solid church, a church I believe that is associated with Doug Wilson's Christian nationalist movement. So that's an amazing turn of events. Our Secretary of Defense confesses that Christ is King, and all nations must do homage to the Son. Psalm chapter 2. So far, the only objection the left has to Hegseth is they don't like his Christian tattoos. They're too nationalistic, too God-centered. This week, I was sent a video regarding JFK Jr., who's been appointed to lead the HHS, the Department of Health and Human Services. The video was about RFK Jr.'s faith. He said, quote, "In 1983, when I was really broken, I surrendered to God at that point. When the chips are down, God is really very present at that point. We need to do what we need to do to invite him into our lives and surrender to his will. When life gets good again, my inclination, when the cash and the prizes start to flow in, is to say, thank you, God, I've got it from here. And then take the wheel of the car and drive it off the cliff again. And then I need to get on my knees once more. And that's a challenge. So much about addiction is about the abuse of power, and it's about following self-will. God gives us this gift of time, and he breaks it down into manageable units called days. And every day we try again to live a perfect life of perfect surrender. It's a challenge for all of us in how we are to stay in the posture of God's will rather than self-will." Unquote. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. When I saw that video this week, my first response was, no wonder. Even though he's coming from a diehard Democrat background, he has slowly been moving in a conservative direction. What matters in life is which direction you're going. And that will determine what things and events in life ultimately cause you joy or rage. Proverbs 21:15. The exercise of justice is joy for the righteous, but it's a terror for the workers of iniquity. Thanks for listening. The website to listen to this program again or to get any of the links to past programs is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube and Rumble channel is God and Country Biblical Exposition. May Jesus Christ reign.